Kuripos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Mem, a good Chodesh, Lichti Chanaga. Hope all is well. Hamit Hashem, I wish our Torah learning should be Zocha for Schus for all of Am Yisrael. Right, may we be Zocha to see Yeshuos and Nisim Veneflos, right by Mim Mahimbaz Manazes. We're here at the bottom of Lamed Tes Mem Beis, in the middle of this discussion of this Brisa and the statement of Rabbi Yaakov. If you remember, right, we're smack in the middle of Lamed Tes Mem Beis, we had a Brisa that said a short Ershot of Akotam that gores. Rabbi Yaakov says he pays Chatzi Nezek. And we had a couple of opinions, we had Machlokes Abaye and Rava, as to why exactly that is. Rava said it's a combination, right, of three halachos that we discussed yesterday, that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that says, first of all, Tzad Tamas, but Mkomo Omedes, that the way you pay Nezek Shalim is that first you have the Tzad Tam, the payment for the Tam, and then you add on Me'aliyah, and therefore, well, let's continue. And then he says he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Muad, a Shor Muad is enough to guard it with a less of a Shmira, a lesser Shmira, as opposed to a higher Shmira. And the case is, and sure enough, where there was a lesser Shmira done, so meaning that a Shor Muad is enough, but you really should have gored you should have watched the short Tam with a higher level of Shmira, so that you were negligent. Vesavar la karabanan de amar midan apachavas la tam the gavos migufo. That he holds also, like the Rabbanan, we say that we're going to set up an apachavas in the case where the you have Yisomim or Chesha the Vekatan, you're going to set up an apachavas, and therefore you're going to have to pay, right, the Chatzi Nezik payment, right? You're not going to have to pay the Muad payment, because you guarded it properly, but you pay the Chatzi Nezek payment. Combining all those three things, right? The Shor v'Cher Shot v'Katan that gores was going to have to pay Chatzi Nezek. Abaye had said that that's not true, right? Because Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't necessarily hold like Rabbi Yehuda in the first two, right? He said disagrees, right, with one of them, agrees with one of them, right? And he holds he doesn't hold that we ein mamidin, right, upper chuppas, and therefore you don't have to pay for the short tam part, but you do pay for the short muad part, because Rabbi says it's a case where there was no guarding done whatsoever, and therefore you'd have to pay for the short muad part and not the short tam part. Now, with that background, now we're three lines up here. Amalei Ravacha Bar Abaye L'Ravina. Right, so Amalei Ravacha Bar Abaye L'Ravina Bishlam El Abaye Damar Pligi Shopir. Right, Abaye's whole, right, back and forth, right, the whole way he understood the case and the Machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, right, that all lines up. El Rava, according to Rava, right, with the first explanation, right, of the first of the three opinions that he holds, right, again, that's the combination of those shitas get you the Chatzi Nezek, Damar Lo Pligi, right, at the Mokele B'Muad, right, again, what does he do? He says, Rabbi Yaakov does not disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, meaning, and therefore he has those three opinions that he holds like, right? And the situation is a Shor Muad that had a minimal Shmira, Shmira Bechusa, right? And therefore you're going to pay Chatzi Nezek, because you only pay the Shor Tam part and not the Shor Muad part. So the problem is, why do you have to come up with that convoluted case? Right? No Kama B'Tam, right? Why don't you just say there was a case of a Tam, right? And again, one of the things that Rabbi Yaakov holds, right, is that we set up an apotropos for Chayr Shad V'Katan, right, and therefore you can collect from the apotropos, you can testify in front of him, and you can collect from a short time in that way, if it's owned by Chayr Shad V'Katan. So very simply, if you pay Chatzi Nezek, right, if you're looking for a Chatzi Nezek payment, just say that's the case. It was a short time. It's Chayr Shad V'Katan. We set up an apotropos, and that's it. Right? Why do you have to get so fancy? Right? Either Rabbi Yehuda, just on Mem Amud Aleph, either Rabbi Yehuda, the Avad Le Shmir Pechusa, Velo Avad Le Shmir Me'ula, or you could say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, who says that you need a short tam, right, in a higher level, so you could say that he did a Shmira Pechusa, right, and therefore he has to pay. And either Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Velo Avad Le Shmir Kal, you could just say, who holds it, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as we'll see in a second, holds that you don't need to do an extra Shmira for the short time, you could just do a basic level of Shmira, you could just say the case is where he didn't guard it at all, meaning, regardless of value hold that you have to guard a short time, you could just say that the Chesha Devakatan didn't guard the short at all. And you could set up an apotropos, and therefore you get Chatzi Nezek. Right? The Tanya is within the Brisa, just to quote these two opinions that we just quoted. But there's been Yaakov Omer, Echad Tam, Echad Muad, Sheshamran, Shmira, Pechusa, Peturin. Regardless of how you watched over, right? If you did a basic level of Shmira, you're going to be putter for short that guards. The Rabbi Yaakov, the Ma'amidl, and the apotropos, the Tam, the Gavos Megufo. And therefore you could use that last opinion, right, the last sheet that Rabbi Yaakov held like, to tell me simply that Rabbi Yaakov holds like the Chachamim, right, that Mabindul have apotropos, right, in the case of Chayr Shad V'Katan that owns a shore, we set up an apotropos, a representative, and that's how you can collect Chatzin Ezek. So why instead of that whole fancy case? So Amalei, so Ravina said back to who was Rav Acha bar Abaye. So he said, Achi kamar. Right, chadad is beitarti taima, meaning he wanted to, in a chinami, right, they wanted to teach those other opinions, meaning we wanted to add, right, onto those other, those other shittas, and therefore, right, and we made it into a fancy situation. Okay, fine. Ravina says, now again, that we had Rava, we had Nabaye, right, now Ravina says, Rishus Mishana Ikimenayu. Ravina says the machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda is rishus mishana. Whether when the shor changes rishus, right, does it go back to becoming a tam, or does it stay as a muad? And what's the case? Could go into have a muad, and it's pakeach acherish, and shata shoyta vehigdil akatan. Right, in all those cases, right, again, it was a shor muad, and then the acherish of the akatan became healthy or got older. So Rabbi Yehuda sabar b'ches kaso. Rabbi Yehuda holds it stays as a muad, and therefore it's going to pay right nezik shalim. And chatzim igufo, chatzim min aliyah, Rabbi Seder. Rabbi Yaakov says rishus mishana. No, it's rishus that changes. Meaning that if it changes rishus, then it's going to change its status, and therefore it goes back to the tam, and therefore it's going to be chatzim nezek. Meaning the inachanami that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov are arguing, but they're not talking about whether you set up an apotropos. Right, the machlokes is right whether simply the status goes back to that of a short time, Rabbi Yaakov. That's what Rabbi Yaakov said. You pay chatzin nezek, and Rabbi Yehuda says you pay nezek shalom. Good. Tan Rabbanan two dots. We learned in a brisa. Apotropos mishalman min aliyah v'ein mishalman kofer. The apotropos, as we said, we pay from the aliyah. Again, if you assume that the apotropos, excuse me, right, is paid min haliyah, right, above and beyond, right, the gufo of the shore, right, from the best type of property. But they're not going to pay kofar. Kofar is a payment that happens if a person's shore, right, kills, right, someone else, right, and that's, you pay a kofar nafsho, right, again, you kill the shore, and then the guy, right, pays a kofar payment to atone for himself. Right, we'll see in a second what exactly that is. How exactly they evaluate that. But in the case of an apotropos, if someone is like in charge, let's say representative for, let's say, for example, Chereshavakotan, or Yisomim, or whatever, so they're not going to pay kofar if the shor gores somebody and kills them. So Mantana Kofar Kapara, who is the one who holds, right, that kofar is a kapara? Again, the Gemara is assuming, without really saying it, but the Gemara is assuming that kofar is an atonement, right, that a person, you know, has to pay, right, to atone for their chait of not watching the shor and getting somebody killed, right, it's a kapara, it's an atonement. So since it's an apotropos, he's a representative, he's not the owner of the shor, right, lechora, again, if let's say it's a katan, so the katan doesn't need a kapara because, you know, he's a katan, he's not chayav mitzvos. So we assume that it's a kapara, right? And therefore, who is the one who says that it's a kapara? And therefore, right, v'yasmei lav b'nei kapara inu, and the yisomim, right, don't need a kapara, and therefore the apotropos doesn't need to pay a kapara because, right, there's no kapara, there's no atonement that we need to do here. So Amar of Chizda, Rav Chizda says, Rabbi Shmuel b'no shal Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. It's Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. The Tanya is one of the Rabbis. Again, we've seen this before. Gemara beginning of Makos, and I think early in the Masechta, if I'm not mistaken. Where is that leading me to? I can't find it on the daf for some reason. Where's the Maimon Shas? Ah, yeah, okay. Earlier, yeah, okay. Chav Zayin Amid Aleph and Mako is tough base. Fine, okay. So Gemara says like this. The Tanya is one of the Nebraisa. If not some Pidyon Nafsho, again, you have to pay kofar. You have to pay a Pidyon, a redemption for a person's life, right? If your shore killed somebody. So according to the Tanakhama, it says Dmei Nizak. You evaluate that. I mean, you evaluate, I guess evaluate is also the same word, but you buy the person who got killed. Right, again, it's an atonement for the person who got killed. Meaning it's an atonement for a person who owned the shore, but you evaluate it. How do you pay? You know how much you have to pay, right? Well, how much damage did you do? You killed somebody, so you atone that. You evaluate that person, and that's how you have to pay the kofar. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga, Omer Dvei Mazik. No, you evaluate the person who needs the kapara, right? And that's how you. That is who you pay the payments. My lav b'hakam ifchi, isn't that exactly our machlokes? The Rabbanan Savri Kufar Mamonahu, that the Tanakama holds a kofar is a monetary payment, so therefore it's just based on the value of whatever you damaged, i.e. the person that you got killed because of your shor. Rabbi Shmuel ben Boshin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Savar Kufar Kapara, and Rabbi Yochanan holds, Rabbi Shmuel rather, without all that whole long title, Rabbi Shmuel holds that you have to evaluate by the person whose ox it was, because he's the one who needs a kapara. Samar Papa, Rav Papa says, no, kuli alma kofar kapara, maybe both of them, the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel, could hold that kofar is a kapara. But Hakam Laiskina, the Machlokas is simply, Rabban Savi be the Nizik Shaimina, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yochum ben Broko, Savar, but the Mazik Shaimina. The question is simply, how do you evaluate that kofar payment? Why would you think one way or another? So they base it on psukim. By my time with the Rabbanan, what's the Rabbanan shita? Nemra shita lamata, venemer shita lamala. Because you have the word yushas or yoshis, right? Two different places. By our case, right? By kofar, if you slide over to Rashi, Rashi already quotes it. Vim kofar yushas alav, right? And that's the pasuk of Rashi dibur maschol venemra, right? By shor muad, right? That when you pay kofar yushas alav, right? That's the word yushas. And then before, right, it said by Rashi says the concept of tomato volados, if a person gets into a fight and accidentally hits a pregnant lady, and God forbid she loses the baby, so you pay what's called tomato volados. The pasuk says that you pay for the loss of the fetus. Kasher yashis alav bal haisha. The yashis, you have the word yashis there over there. Obviously, over there, you evaluate the fetus. That's d'mei mazik, right? That's by the thing that get injured, right? That's how you evaluate the payment. So too over here, right? That's what we're saying. Back in the Gemara, right? Malaholam b'denizak, afkam b'denizak. Just like you evaluate the fetus in that case, are you also going to evaluate the person who got killed over here? That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yochum, Ben-Brokos, however, he doesn't like that. He says, Benosim Pidyon Nafshuksiv, right? He says, Nafsho, his life. Right? So therefore, he's the one who's getting evaluated. For Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with that? They say, In Enechanami, the Pidyon Nafshuksiv, but Miu Ki Sheminan, right? But the Nizak Sheminan. Enechanami, it's an atonement for him, but you just evaluate it right through with the Nizak. Okay, Mishabech Le Rav Rav Nachman Bid Rav Acha Bar Yaakov De Adam Gadol. It's a little story time now, sort of. That Rava used to say to Rav Nachman that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was an Adam Gadol. So Amalei, he said to him, "Lekishiyavu liadcha hashivenu hevyani liadi." So he said, "Okay, great, I want to meet him." Ki also the gabei, when he came to him, so Amalei said, "Boy minei milsa," right? Ask me a shayla. So boy minei, so he asked. He said, "Unclear exactly who's doing the asking, but let's say the pasha says Rav Acha Bar Yaakov." Right, like asked the Shiloh, or he was asked the Shiloh. Okay, either way. Shor shel shnei shutfin, kitzim mishalim kofar. Right, he said, well, give me a Shiloh. Right, so he said, okay, if the ox belongs to two different people, how do you evaluate, how do you do the kofar payments? Right, mishalim high kofar v'hai kofar. Right, do both of them pay kofar? Because the problem is, kofar echad amar rachmana v'lo shnei kofar. Right, the Torah says you pay one kofar, not two, for the deaths of this guy. High chatzi kofar v'hai chatzi kofar, if they should play half and half, Kofar shalim am rachmano v'lo chatzi kofar. Because Kosh Baruch Hu says, the Torah says you should pay a full payment of kofar, not half. So how do you work that out? So the Yosef come ayin ba amar le. So while he was working on that shayla, he asked him another shayla. He said, tonight we know the Mishnah, Mishnah Erichin. Chayavi Erichin memashkin nosan. Now, an erichin is a payment where a person can give stuff to the Beis HaMikdash, right? One of the things a person could give is he could give what's called the erich of somebody, the value of somebody. Erichin are set valuations of somebody. Right? A person is going to give his basic value of a person. The Torah lists I forget exactly the details, but men are 20 shekel and female are 10 at some age, and I forget if it's I forget exactly where that is. I think that's around 20 years of age or something like that. Okay, but either way, there's a set value, right, for that a person can opt in to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So if it's an erich, again, if your person promises to give an erich of value to the base of this one of these things, the Beis HaMikdash. So we take a mashkon. We take a mashkon on this item, right? And again, lechora, because we're not sure that this guy's going to make the payments, because he just promised to give a gift and whatever. So b'seder, he's not gonna necessarily fall through. But chavi chatos v'shamos. But if you have a guy who has to bring korban chatos, korban osham, ain't a mashkon or something. We're not going to take a mashkon because we assume that it's a kapara. Guy's interested. He has to bring korban chatos, right? He doesn't want to have that on his record. So he's going to bring korban chatos. He's going to get rid of it. Chavi kofrin mai. But what about a kofer? right? Are you going to take a mashkon and a kofar? Came into kapara who? Since maybe since on the one hand it's a kapara like korban achadas and korban asham, so then kachadas asham dami, and then you don't need to take a korban. Right? The machmer chamer aleha because that's a serious thing. Right? V'loy mashkon, you don't take a korban, you don't have to take a mashkon because we assume that people will pay it. Odomar maybe came into the chavre who the boy may svele, or maybe since the guy's got to pay his friend, right, not to the base of mikdash, mamonahu v'lo lugavoo. And it's not to it's not to based on mikdash, it's to his friend. And it's not serious. But boy, mashkon, maybe you need to get a mashkon. You need to get this mashkon again. A mashkon is collateral to make sure that he pays. Inami or kevin du lo chata. Maybe since he's not the one who sinned, mamonu who does it's just his property, right? It's sure that killed somebody, right? Lo chomer milsei lev. But boy, mashkon, maybe he's not going to take it so seriously, and therefore we have to take a collateral to make sure that he pays it. So finally, we're not actually going to get answers to this, right? This is just a story. So I'm really finally shafkan. It's got to become Isa. Right? Leave me alone already. I mean, I'm already quieted by the first question. Meaning, these are good kashas. I don't know. You proved to me that you're another Mgadol. Right, now leave me alone. Right? I don't want to hear any more from you. Okay, fascinating give and take over there. Turn around with another Isa. Shalu becheskas tam v'nimtza muad. Let's say a guy borrowed an ox, right? And he thought it was a short tam, and sure enough, it turned out to be a short muad. So b'ilu mishalimim chatzin nezek v'shul mishalim chatzin nezek. Fascinating, right? Normally, short muad obviously pay full damages. So fascinating, the Brisa says that the owners pay half, and the shul pays half, and the borrower pays half. That's case number one. Case number two, well, we'll say in a second, and then we're going to analyze both cases. We'll go back to the first case. Who had bebeis ha-shoel? Let's say a guy borrowed a shor. It was a shor tam, and then it became a shor muad while it was still right in the possession of the guy who borrowed it. Ve'chzir l'bayim, and then give it back. And then it gores again. So, b'ilim mishalim chatzinezik, v'shoel potter miklum. But in that case, the b'ilim might pay chatzinezik, and the borrower doesn't have to pay anything. So now we're going to spend a lot of time right analyzing, first of all, the first case that we just said. Amar, again, just to recap, shalu cheskas tam, v'nimsa muad, b'ilim mishalim chatzinezik, v'shoel chatzinezik. Again, if a guy borrows a shor, thought it was a short tam, ended up being a shor muad, so we split the payment between the owners and the borrower. So the Gemara says, v'amai. Why? We're going to have a bunch of these. We're going to have a bunch of why is that true. The Gemara says, v'amai. Lemale, why doesn't the borrower say, Torah sheili aryeh lo sheili? Why does the borrower have to pay half of the damages? He could be like, you messed me over. I asked you for a short tom. I ended up with a short muad. I wanted an ox, not a lion. Right? Why in the world would I didn't want a shore that's goring people? So Amar Rav. Rav says, Hachmai eskinan kishihikir boshu nagchan. Rav says, fascinating chiddush, right, that he recognized he realized that it was a gorer. Meaning that it was apparently there's a status. I don't know if it's a halakhic status or just an observation or just a. But apparently we always talk about a short tam and a short muad. A short gore is three times. It's a short muad. Up until then, it's a short tam. Here, Rav is being mechadish. Right, there is a. I don't know if it's a status, but there's an idea of a shore that kind of likes to gore. Right, there's a short tom that never gores ever, and then there's a shorter tom that's kind of, you know, it's a gorer, right? And so the chora, right, he should have realized, right, that was a impossible thing for it to happen. I have an MLA, but what about Cham She'ili Muad Lo She'ili? Why didn't he say, you could say Mekachtos, I asked you for a short tom, right, and you gave me a short muad. Because you could say to him, well, so if itam have a paganis kabayas lume. Well, because the owner would say back to him, well, that's not helpful for your position. Like, what are you saying? You're saying, I don't want to pay half damage, I don't want to pay chatzinezek, because I wanted a short tom, not a short muad. Well, if it's a short tom, you would still pay half damages. You still pay chatzinezek. So Ashtanami, right, zil shlim, palgan niska, as the owner could say, so you should still pay chatzinezek. Okay, Gemara tries again, third case, if the name of lay, why don't you say, itam hava mishtal meguvo? But what do you mean? If it's a short tom, you would take the damages from the short itself, and I wouldn't have had to pay anything. I said, now there's a shor muad, right? You have to pay me aliyah. Now I actually have to pay out of pocket. So Gemara says, "Mishum damar," because you could say, because the owner would say back to him. So in the end, right? At lav Torah by shlumi l'didi. What do you mean? You would have to give me back an ox, right? Again, the shul borrows it, and if something happens to the shore, like it gores someone, and now we have to kill it or sell it or whatever. You, the shul, the borrower, has to pay the owner back, right? Has to get him an ox. Right, and repay him for the ox. Because if it was a short time, right, you still would have had to pay. Right, chatzinezek can get me the ox back. So again, so Gemara says, "V'nei malei." So why didn't the borrower say, "Im tam hava modinu mipatrina." Right? If it was a short time, I would have admitted. I would have admitted that if a person, again, if it's a knas, right, modi b'knas pater, right, if you look at Rashi, the first Rashi, the palga nizka knasa, right, that chatzinezek is a knas, is a fine, and a person who admits is modi b'knas, right, he is pater, so you could be like, well, if it was a short time, I could get out of it by just admitting in basin before the whole court case happened, right, if it was a short muad, so that's already a mumminess, and then I can't, but if it's a knas, I could have gotten out of it. So you messed me over. If I feel the Amar Paganiska Mamonov, and even according to the Gemara says, well, by the way, even according to the one who says that Chatzinezek is Mamon, is a monetary payment, not a Knas, namely, he could say Itam. Who have ma rikna le'el agma? Right, I could have driven it out to the swamp. Right, I could have hid it right in the swamp, and then I wouldn't have had to pay right migufo. Now that's a very interesting question, a very interesting shaila. And Tosus already asked this question. What kind of question is that? What do you mean? You could have hidden the shore, and I wouldn't have had to pay right migufo. Right, we're talking about Russia. Right, guys like, well, I can just hide the shore. Right, so Tosus deals with that. That's a good kasha. The Elul, the Gemara says, "Helchem Ayaskina." It must be the case is going to Adkim Beidina Vitasve. Now it must be that the case is Beidin showed up right away and was toe-faced the shore. It grabbed the shore. It took possession of the shore before he could hide it. Right, and therefore he can't make that claim. Gemara says, "Yehoki, that's true." By the way, my Mishnah Chatzinezek. Well, one second. What, if that's true, that the Beisdin took the ox, right? So then the shore, so then why do the owners pay Chatzinezek? By name of they could say, Atfei l'torai biyoda man lo matzina l'ishtui dine behedya. Right, you basically gave the shore into someone I can't fight with, meaning Beisdin. I can't, what's it called? I can't go back and forth with the Beisdin. I can't sue Beisdin, right? So they should get the shoel, right, to pay for the entire value of the shore, because now the owners can't do anything, right, in Beisdin. They can't argue and get their money. So Gemara says, "Mishum Damalei, yeah, right, if I would have given the shore back to you, lav minach havashakulei, they would have taken it from you anyway." So that's not an argument that the owners can claim to the shoal. I have an MLA, but the owners could still say to the shoal, "Yeah, Adrina Nihale, Hava Marikna Levi Agma." Also, the very interesting, fascinating. Well, if you would have given it back to me, I could have hidden the shore in the swamp. I said the basin couldn't take it, and then we'd have to go through the whole court case, and then I couldn't have gotten out of it. But I said, now you should be chayiv. So Mishum Damarle, because you could say to him, "Sof love may Aliyah hayu mishdalmi." The Gemara says, you could have said back to him, "What do you mean? This is a case of a shore muad." I said, "Who cares whether you hide the shore right in the swamp? You would have had to pay right from min Aliyah regardless." The Gemara says, "Honey, that only works if the owners have other nechasim, other property. Maybe they don't have any other property, and therefore, if it hid the ox, right, it wouldn't have had necessarily to pay, and then the shoel should have to pay them for that." Because the shoel could say to him, right, just like I'm chayef to give you the shore, I should give it to the guy who I damaged. Right, midi Rabbi Nosson, the Tanya, based on Rabbi Nosson's shita, the Amar Rabbi Nosson, Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, how do you know that if A owes B and B owes C, you can take money from A and give it to C? Tamalom, the Pazik says, Minasan la Asher Hashem lo. Right, he learns a Pazik, since theoretically I should have given it to the guy who got damaged, so you can't complain, right, that I should have given the ox to you, because lechora I could have just given the ox to the guy who got damaged. And that would have been bypassed you, and then, you know, you would have had to pay him with the ox anyway. Okay, a little bit convoluted, but let's go back to the second thing we said, that who will base a shoel, exur le bailim mishalmin, right, the shore became a shore muad, right, while the shoal had borrowed it, right, and then he gave it back to the bailim, right, and then a gordi then, right, so then the bailim pay a chatzinezek, right, and the shoal pays nothing. So the Gemara says, safer just mishana. That seems to imply, what does that imply? Again, it became a shore muad, he gave it back to the bailim, and now the bailim have to pay chatzinezek if it gores again. Right, that seems to imply that rishus mishana, that if you change, right, the rishus, right, then you're reverting the shore right back to a shore town. But the ratio reshus in mishana. Again, that the in the beginning, the ratio, right, it's the first case, guy borrows a shore muad, thinking it's a short tam, right? And then it gores. So they have to pay nezek shalim together, right? You split the payments between the borrower and the owner. Well, that tells me that rishus does not change it, because it changed the guy rishus. It went to the guy, the shul's possession, right? And now it's still a shor muad, and they have to pay nezek shalim. So that seems to say that reisha rishus ain't a mishana. Rabbi Yochanan says tavra ain't a chinami. You're right. That's not the same. Misha shanazu, lo shanazu. Must be two different opinions. Rabba Amar, Rabba says midreisha rishus ain't a mishana. Sefer nami rishus ain't a mishana. But Rabba says just that if the reisha is talking about a case that rishus, meaning talking about an opinion that says that rishus doesn't change the status, so too in the sefer. One second. Didn't we just say in the sefer, right, that if you gave the shor back to the owners and it gores, you pay chatzin ezek? If it became a shor muad in the borrower's possession, you give it back to the owner, then you pay chatzin ezek. Why would that work? Right, you have to pay shor nezek shalim for a muad. That implies that rishus does change. Now you're telling me the sefer does not change. So if a sefer is a high in time, and the gemara says, Rabbi says, what's the reason? And the seifa, b'shem da amalei, because the owner can say to the shoel, lav kol kuminach to mi'eres lach toroi. Right, you're not able to make my shore into a muad. Meaning, it could not have become a muad, even though in a chinami, right, it did become a muad. But the owner can be like, I would have guarded it in a proper way, right? I would have been shomer it, right, and it never would have gored it. So the fact that you were negligent with the shore and didn't guard it properly doesn't make it into a muad for me, because I would have guarded it properly. Rav Papa says, "May the sefer rishus mishana, reisha nami rishus mishana." Rav Papa says the opposite, right? From the fact that the sefer implies that we're talking about rishus mishana, that it changes rishus, changes its status, goes back to being a tam. So too in the reisha. Didn't the reisha say that if you think it was a muad, if you think it was a tam, and it ends up being a muad, and it gores, you split the payment, it's half and half, right? I.e., it stays a muad, and you pay nezek shalim. So reisha, hand a time. What's the reason for that? Mishum duchol makom hasholich shem balav olav. Because wherever the shore goes, right, it's the owner's name is still upon it. Everybody's still like, that's what's his name's shore. That's Reuven's shore. So it's not rishus mishana. Right? It doesn't change at all. Meaning it still stays in the owner's rishus, even though it's borrowed by somebody else. Right? It still stays in the shore's owner's rishus, right? And therefore it's not rishus mishana because it's not changing at all. And therefore it's not a big deal, right, that it is still nezek shalim. Okay, we're going to stop here, even though that's a little bit high up. Which is my throat is leaving me, and my voice is leaving me, and it's getting a little bit late. Well, we might get up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.